You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Look, I hope everybody's been having an amazing week or had an amazing week. Week's not over yet. It's Saturday. Hopefully the weather is clear. Hopefully we got some nice, clear skies. I know I am planning to be outside a little bit today, just to, you know, more so like walking and hiking and stuff like that. But no, I hope everybody has had a great week so far. But yeah, this rain has been crazy, y'all. I'm just praying for some nice sunny days. But nevertheless, excited to be back to talk some sports, man. I know we've had some a lot of shifts, a lot of movements in the sports world. We got the FIFA World Cup that's going on. It's approaching its end. We had NBA Summer League. We got NFL talks are heating up. We got college football talks heating up with football right around the corner. So this is one of the most exciting times of the year as we are heading into, I want to say now, 49 Sundays or Saturdays or whatever until college football and NFL are back. Wives, girlfriends, fiancés, I know, well, those who are not big into sports, I know this is probably not the most fun time for you all, but that's why we do everything with y'all in the summer so that we can make sure we at least are able to watch football. It'd be different if your guy didn't spend any time with you during the summer and then expected that he was going to get a chance to be able to just sit there and watch football every Saturday, every Sunday. But no, the real guys, look, kind of step away from the sports in the summer, have all the fun you can, and then when sports, well, when football, the best sport, is back on, we're able to lock in and enjoy. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have, you know, activities and different things that you still have to go out and do throughout the season, but we're able to lock in for real. But with that being said, man, let's go ahead and get into our topics for today. Like I mentioned, NBA Summer League has been ongoing right now. I think teams are on like their fifth or going into their sixth game around that area. Wanted to highlight one Chicago Bull, Caleb Wilson, the fourth pick in the NBA draft of 2026. Gotta shout my guy out, man, because Caleb Wilson, man, he has been really lighting it up in the summer league. If you don't believe me, go pull up his highlights. If you didn't have an opportunity to watch any of his games, I did, and this guy is real. He's the real deal. I think the Chicago Bulls got a huge steal in the NBA draft by selecting Caleb Wilson. He's arguably going to be the best player to come out of this class. I know you got the AJ DeBances and the Carlos Boozers, the Cameron Boozers out there, and Darren Peterson and guys like that. But Caleb Wilson has the entire package. And if you don't believe me, we're going to go ahead and go run down these stats that he put up in the summer league in just a few games or four games that he played. So he has a summer league average of 23.5 points on 50% shooting, including 42% from three, seven rebounds, about one steal a game, and 2.5 blocks a game. Now, let's run down each of these games individually so I could talk about what he did in each of these four games. So his very first game against the Grizzlies, put up a 35-point, five rebound, three blocks, and two steal performance. He was 12 from 21 from the field goal percentage, but 7 from 11 from 3-point range. So seven threes. This is a lot of talk about Caleb Wilson not being able to shoot. I don't know where that narrative even came from. If you actually sit and watched his highlights from North Carolina, you can see this guy's a shooter. He can shoot the rock. So I don't know where that came from. But those 35 points set a summer league record as the highest point total that was put up by a rookie or a player, even in the summer league. I want to say it's a rookie record in his debut. I mean, this kid right out the gate, his first shot was a three to let everybody know, like, I'm a shooter. Second game, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 blocks, and 2 steals. That was against the Jazz. His third game against the Wizards, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 2 assists. And last game that he had against the Lakers, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. Didn't have the best night shooting in those next 3 games from the 3-point line, but collectively, he was able to knock in 6 threes across those two games. But again, he already proved that he's a shooter regardless of the 3-point percentage in those last 3 games. Again, he literally, again, averaged 42% from 3. That number can easily go up. And the thing that I'm most excited about this kid is he's only 19 years old. His upside is tremendous. He's gotten comparisons to KG. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, I've heard a few different comparisons out there. And I just think that the excitement around Chicago is high. We are looking forward to this run. Another kid out of North Carolina. We know what happened when we selected another kid out of North Carolina in Michael Jordan and what happened there. And I'm not, you know, saying that, you know, there's going to be, a three-peats and sitting, but anything can happen. I'm not, you know, right off the bat just saying like, oh, you know, we're going to win 6 rings like Jordan because we got him out of North Carolina. But what I'm saying is that is not out of the possibility with the way that this kid could play and the way that we're going to be able to build around him. I'm excited to see him and Matis Buzelis on the court together because that's going to be a problem. I mean, Buzelis, he can boom on anybody. Kayla Wilson can boom on anybody. He had a highlight reel where he literally went full Space Jam Monstar and threw the ball. He ended up throwing it into the goal, but had he been a little bit closer, he would have completely boomed on this guy. But again, you can't be anything but excited about the Bulls heading into the season. They brought in Norman Powell, a proven scorer. I mean, he's averaging what, about 24 points a game, if I'm not mistaken. So that's something that the Bulls needed, a big man who could actually score the basketball. Right now, it's just really more so continuing to work on the size in the paint, getting a real true center. But I think that the pickup of Noah Claxton is going to be good for them. He's an experienced center. I think that's going to provide some size and some scoring in the paint for the Bulls. And, you know, I'm excited. I mean, they're off to a good start. Dylan Swain, the other rookie, got to pick it up a little bit for me. You can sense some nerves out there. He was the second pick that the Bulls took in the NBA draft with the 15th pick. Got some work to do, but I think that, you know, with the right time and stuff that he'll put in, he'll come along. But, you know, Josh Giddey, got guys like that, man. This is a pretty solid nucleus that Chicago has to build around. So you can't be anything more than excited as a Chicago Bull fan. So, yeah, man, telling you, watch out. And I'll wrap up with this. Chicago has 2 Calebs. We got Caleb Williams and we got Caleb Wilson. C-dubs, bro. We got 2 C-dubs in the city. It's lit. I'm excited. Let's go. All right. With that being said, we got the FIFA World Cup final. It's going to be between Argentina and Spain. Argentina and Spain are 2 favorites coming into the FIFA World Cup. Obviously, we know Argentina won it 4 years ago, back in 2022. This year, they'll have an opportunity to go back-to-back. They will face off against Spain. And I really want to unpack this matchup because this is going to be a great matchup that's going down on tomorrow, on Sunday at 3 p.m., and it's going to take place in New Jersey. But before we do that, I want to talk about their road that they took to get here. So let's start off with Spain. So Spain in the semifinal, they, you know, knocked off France 2-0. Again, this was a big upset because France was a favorite to reach the World Cup final. I know I said Spain was a favorite too, but France was a legit favorite to reach the final. And Spain winning in this match 2-0. In the first semifinal World Cup. So they kicked it off. They went ahead in advance and they were able to sit and watch on who they were going to face. And then Argentina in their semifinal knocked off England 2-1. They were actually losing this game late 1-0 and were able to rally two goals in a row to reach the World Cup final. So again, let's talk more about, and that was the semifinal matchup, but let's talk about the road, like I mentioned earlier, the road that it took for these teams to get there. So Spain had to go up against first Uruguay. They beat Uruguay in the first the initial round, knocking off Uruguay 1-0. And then in the round of 32, they faced Austria, who they knocked off 3-0. In the round of 16, the Sweet 16, knocked off Portugal 1-0. Then they advanced to the quarterfinals where they knocked off Belgium 2-1. I was extremely excited about this one because we had to watch Belgium absolutely destroy the U.S. men's national team after they played one of the worst matches in World Cup history, I might add. And so, you know, everybody in the U.S. was hating on Belgian waffles for a good little bit. But I think we started liking Belgian waffles again after Belgium got knocked out of the World Cup in the quarterfinals. So, again, knocked off Belgium 2-1 to advance to the semifinal where I just said earlier where they knocked off a World Cup final favorite France. 2-0 to advance to the World Cup final. Now let's talk about Argentina's role. So Argentina, they faced off in their first in the group stage, Jordan, where they knocked them off 3-1. Then they advanced against in the round of 32 to face Cape Verde. This game was one of the best games in the World Cup. I just want to throw that out there. Cape Verde, man, really had Argentina on the ropes. And I was really pulling for them to knock off Argentina, but Argentina rallied. And every time, you know, Argentina would score, or Cape Verde score, Argentina score, Cape Verde score. It was kind of back and forth until ultimately Argentina ended up scoring back to back. They go up 3-2. Cape Verde did make a final push, but it just wasn't enough. They advanced from there. Then you had... them facing off against Egypt in the round of 16, where they knocked them off 3-2. Then they faced Switzerland in the quarterfinal, where they knocked them off 3-1. And then England in the semifinals, like I mentioned earlier, 2-1 to advance to the World Cup final. So let's talk about some top performers on each of these squads, Spain and Argentina. So you have Oyarzabal for Spain. He's averaging 5 goals. Again, of course, you got Lionel Messi from Argentina. He scored 5 goals. Messi has scored 8 goals in his World Cup final. Those are your two top scorers on these squads. As far as most assists, I do not want to mess this name up. Cucurella from Spain has 2 assists. Messi has 4 for Argentina. And let's look at these, the statistics for both of these squads. Spain is averaging, it says 1.86 goals, so pretty much just under 2 goals a game. Let's just say 1 goal, just about 2 goals a game. Argentina is averaging close to 3 goals a game. They have them at 2.7. I really don't understand a decimal point for a goal, but that's neither here nor there. But those are the average goals both of these squads are putting up a match. For Spain, their average goal differential is plus 1.7, as well as Argentina at plus 1.7. The average expected goals for Spain 1.84. to Argentina's 2. And the average, that's enough for the averages, but let's look at the possession percentage. So both of these teams are actually possessing the ball 63% of their matches. So this is going to be interesting to see who can win that possession battle, because if they're equally, you know, right now with the same amount of possession, somebody is going to have to be the enforcer for this match tomorrow. I wonder who that's going to be coming out to be an aggressive. I expect both of these teams to be aggressive. The save percentage for Spain is 91%. Argentina is 56%. And so, again, across the board, interesting stuff that we have heading into this World Cup final. And then lastly, let's look at the head-to-head. Now, the last five matchups between Argentina and Spain. So let's start back in 1966. This is a World Cup group stage match between the two. Argentina knocked Spain off 2-1. In 2006, Spain in an international friendly match knocked off Argentina 2-1. In 2009, in another international friendly match, Spain knocked off Argentina 2-1. In 2010, in their third international friendly match, Argentina knocked off Spain 4-1. And in 2018, in their last international friendly match, Spain winning big 6-1 over Argentina. And the wildest thing about this match coming up here is, I want to say one of the craziest things about this is in 2007, Lionel Messi actually held a baby in this picture. That baby was Lamine Yamal from Spain. And now, 19 years later, they are set to face each other in the 2026 World Cup final, which is absolutely insane. So, man, a lot of stuff going on, but a lot of history between both of these squads. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing shakes up. I'll give you guys my prediction before the show is over. Then we have our third place match between France and England. That's going to take place on today at 5 p.m. Let's shift gears and talk NFL. But before that, you are listening to the Lace Up Sports Talk podcast right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom. And of course, please subscribe to the YouTube channel so that you can be up to date and aware of any episode that goes live. I appreciate all of the support. You guys continue to rock with me each and every show. So again, appreciate the love and support there, and we'll continue to keep this ship sailing. So let's talk about NFL real quick, because this is ahead of the World Cup final on tomorrow. There are many NFL players who are pushing for grass for NFL stadiums. These players include Chicago Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, Washington Commanders offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil. They went on social media on Friday, actually with the hashtag that says hashtag worth the cost. This is to express their desire for permanent grass playing surfaces. Now, MetLife Stadium is among one of the venues that replaced artificial turf with grass for the FIFA World Cup games this summer. So, Laremy Tunsil says on Twitter in this post that if stadiums can make grass work for the World Cup, then they can make it work for NFL players. We're hashtag worth the cost. Green Bay Packers linebacker Zaire Franklin, he also chimed in and said the cost of doing nothing is paid for by players' bodies. He said, make grass mandatory. We're worth the cost. This is a social media push after the NFL Players Association released a statement at the beginning of the Cup urging the team owners to make the switch to natural grass. Now, at FIFA's request, all 11 NFL stadiums that hosted World Cup matches, they install natural grass playing surfaces. Seven of those stadiums actually use synthetic turf as their primary playing surface, but they switched to grass. But they're saying that they're going to return to those synthetic turf surfaces when the tournament concludes on Sunday. Now, the NFL Players Association, they put out a statement that says the temporary installation of natural grass fields for the World Cup is a choice by certain NFL team owners to do for soccer players what they refuse to do for players. Now, it says this. The NFL Players Association also put a state out. That was 5 weeks ago. They also said that it's no longer a question of capability. The technology exists, the enterprise exists, and the resources exist to install the high-level grass fields that our players overwhelmingly prefer. I think that, you know, and then there's also a post that says 92% of players, NFL players, prefer natural grass. And, of course, the NFL did not respond to a request for a comment by the players. So they've been silent on that. Since these statements have come out, 49ers tight end George Kittle, he also put in a statement in strongly voicing his opinion about everything. He says, "We've made it clear that we prefer grass fields. We know it's better on our bodies, and clearly we know it's possible based on everything that went into putting down grass fields for the World Cup in East Stadium." So, you know, I think that, you know, obviously hearing all this, you know, hearing this push for the players who want grass, why won't the NFL make that happen? I don't know, but I think that they need to go ahead and get this done, primarily because you do not want, you know, to send the wrong message that you just do not care about the players. There's no reason to just continue to use this synthetic turf that's damaging players' bodies. Make it grass. If you're able to adjust to do that for FIFA, you could do that for the guys that are putting their bodies on the line each and every day in football equipment, running 90 miles an hour in the NFL. So the NFL, they need to get on their job. They need to do what they need to do because this is going to become an ongoing conversation. It's not going to stop. I think the players are truly going to stand on this. They will, you know, stand strongly. And if you get, you know, a large enough crowd in these players to stand up for this, you know, there's strength in numbers. And eventually I think that they can get them to change. But as of right now, there has been no word that there's going to be an adjustment for going to grass for every stadium. So again, we'll continue to monitor that and we'll continue to watch it closely. But I definitely think the NFL needs to address this and address it immediately. Let's move on and shift gears here. Talk about what's going on in Tennessee with the Tennessee Titans. So the Titans, they actually announced that they are going to be inducting former running back Chris Johnson into their Ring of Honor. The ceremony is actually going to take place during the halftime of their season opener at Nissan Stadium on September the 13th. Now, this honor is going to come after Chris Johnson was 40 years old. He revealed last month that he had been diagnosed with ALS. The Titans released a statement. He says, "Chris Johnson holds a special place in our hearts of our organization and our fans." This is coming from the owner, Amy Adams. She says his stats speak for themselves and he will forever remain a leader in our record books. But the man behind the yardage deserves just as much celebration. We look forward to welcoming him home on September 13th and officially inducting him into the Titans Ring of Honor. Now, Chris Johnson, he rushed for over 2,006 yards in 2009, which was the seventh highest single season rushing total. He had 503 receiving yards to put him at 2,509 yards from scrimmage for the season, which was an NFL record. Johnson's 2,000-yard season also did earn him the nickname CJ2K, and he was named NFL Offensive Player of the Year. the Titans did select Chris Johnson with the 24th overall pick in the 2008 NFL draft, and he spent six seasons in Tennessee from 2008 to 2013. He surpassed 1,000 rushing yards in each year, and his 7,965 rushing yards ranked fourth in franchise history, and his 58 total touchdowns are the fourth most in franchise history. And he will become the 20th member of the Titans Ring of Honor. You know, I think that this is awesome what the Titans are doing. Obviously, it is saddening and to hear about his diagnosis of ALS. Again, this is an acronym that stands for amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. And it's commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And it is a, just to give you a backstory, I know everybody, I don't want to assume everybody knows what ALS is, but it is a neurodegenerative condition. It affects nerve cell communication. So with your muscles throughout your body. So it leads to muscle weakness, and it can cause deterioration of the ability to move, to speak, and to breathe. I don't know if you guys saw the video of him and his wife, but it was just it was just very heartbreaking and saddening to watch, you know, as he was talking through the machine to kind of there's a machine that they have hooked up that he was talking through. It says, honestly, he said, honestly, I don't know if you ever fully process it. When he's speaking on the diagnosis, and he's like, at first you're in shock and you realize you have two choices. You could give up or you could fight. And I choose to fight. Man, Chris Johnson, a heck of a football player. I remember, you know, just watching him and just how electrifying he was as a running back. He brought a new swagger to the running back position. And you just can never forget about the impact that he had on the game of football. And very, very happy and excited for him to be able to be honored in the way that he will be honored in the next few months to be inducted as the 20th member of the Tennessee Titans Ring of Honor. And there are players that have come out around the league to do the there's the ALS, or they call it the Chris Johnson Challenge, where they dump a bucket of water on the top of their ice on the top of their head to you know, I want to say honor, but recognize Chris Johnson and what he's going through. Thoughts and prayers go out to him, to his family. I know that this is, you know, extremely tough time to deal with something like this. And, you know, I'm keeping him and his family, you know, in my thoughts and prayers, and just continuing to recognize that, you know, this game, you know, that these players play, it's a dangerous game, and, you know, want to be able to do everything we can to just protect them in long-term, you know, for things like this, the CTEs, the ALS, things like this, man, the things that just could take over your body just out of nowhere. But no, thoughts and prayers go out to Chris Johnson and to his family. And before we move into our last topic, you are listening to the Lace Up Sports Talk podcast right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Please like, comment, subscribe, and share the show. I appreciate everybody again jumping in on each episode, tuning in, giving me your feedback. Please make sure you leave comments, thoughts in the comment section on each episode. I would love to hear any feedback that you all have, or anything you want me to talk about on the show. Please throw it in there. Happy to talk about anything. And before we get into our next topic here, I just wanted to again just say how appreciative I am for each and every single one of you for supporting me, even in times where I'm not consistently posting. You guys are still rocking with me. So I appreciate, again, the love and support. With that being said, let's talk about Alabama football before we wrap up, because there is a situation here between quarterbacks that Kalen DeBoer has to decide on between Keelan Russell or Austin Mack. So last year in 2025, Alabama's record, they went 11-4. They were 7-1 in the SEC. Now, Kalen DeBoer, again, he has not decided whether Keelan Russell, the number two prospect in the 2025 class, is ready to take over the reins as the starting quarterback yet, or if he wants to lean on experience in Austin Mack, a guy who he spent 2 years with in Washington in a year last year. So he has 3 years under his belt in Kalen DeBoer's system. Keelan Russell's enters his second year in Kalen DeBoer's system. So, he has 2 years under his belt. He's entering in. And so, really, this is a big, you know, a big question that's been talked about across the college football world when it comes to Alabama. Of course, the running game in the offensive line has been the question, but the quarterback has been the biggest question mark. Now, there are, again, Alabama's not the only team who has not settled on a starting quarterback, so everybody who's making a huge deal out of this, don't feed into that. There's numerous teams who have not named a starting quarterback. Coaches do not name starting quarterbacks in June and July. It just doesn't happen. But again, Kalen DeBoer, during a radio interview last month, he said he has no timetable on making a decision. Obviously, Saban went through something similar when it came to Tua and Jalen Hurts. He didn't right off the bat just name one or the other the starting quarterback. They actually went into the season with Hurts starting, and I think Tua ultimately ended up taking over the job. Now, we have an interesting, you know, situation, because I think that those first couple of games, I think I don't think it should bleed into the season. I think it, you know, 9 times out of 10, it will probably bleed into the season, those first couple of games, to see how they perform. Now, Russell was the number two prospect, like I said, in the 2025 class. Austin Mack does have more time in DeBoer's system, and him entering in his third year at Alabama, he's high on both of these guys, right? The ability to push the ball down the field, how accurate both of these guys are, how they're putting in work, being leaders. So the leadership aspect, all qualities that you want in a quarterback. And again, we don't know if DeBoer will go ahead and name a starting quarterback. I think you have to name a starter going into the season, but will that be a permanent starter? Will he play both guys through these games? I think that he's probably going to lean in the direction of playing both of them. I mean, I can pull up. Let's pull up Alabama's schedule as we're talking about this here, and look at these first couple of games. You have Eastern Carolina at home. Then you go, that's September 5th. Then you go on the road to Kentucky on September the 12th. And then you have Florida State at home on September the 19th. I would argue that Eastern Carolina game, I need to know who my starting quarterback is. If you don't know who the starting quarterback is, if you haven't named an official starter for the season before that game needs to be it. Because the next week, again, you go on the road to Kentucky. Again, the SEC, any environment in the SEC can be, you know, a tough place to play in. It's the SEC. It's earlier in the season. Kentucky is going to be obviously hype and excited about an opportunity to try to knock off, you know, Bama. Everybody's excited and up when they play Bama. So, you know, this is going to be an important situation for this to be wrapped up before they head into this game. I think you want to go ahead and solidify your starter. And hey, maybe DeBoer surprised us before the season, but I think that he wants to see it play out. Fall camp is, you know, obviously gonna help guys start to separate themselves, but these guys are in lockstep right now. But if you ask me personally, I think Keelon Russell is the guy that I would roll with. I like both of these guys. Obviously, Austin Mack with the bigger body and size-wise, but I think Keelon Russell is just a different zip that he has on the ball. There's going to be some situations. Obviously, there's some growing pains there, but I think the receiving core that we have around him is solid. You got Ryan Williams, you got Lottie Brooks, you got Sadarian Morgan, you got guys like that surrounding him. We got a couple of solid tight ends. The most important and key component is going to be that offensive line and protecting them, and then the running game. The running game last year was non-existent, so we're going to need that to be cleaned up. I don't think we're going to see a similar situation happen with Alabama this year. Last year was the worst running effort that I've ever seen from Alabama in all my years of living. So, I think that that's going to be cleaned up. And I think we'll get better production out of our backfield this year. And, you know, with Daniel Hill, Isaiah Coryell, and you got A.K. Deer, you know, guys like that, excited to see those guys. I would roll. If it was me, I'm rocking with Keelon Russell. I think it's Keelon Russell season, man. And that doesn't mean we don't utilize Austin Mack, but I think Keelon Russell is a guy that he can – He can give a different type of swagger to this team that is much needed, a swagger that we haven't necessarily, had from a quarterback that can really zip it, kind of like how Bryce Young was. And I'm not saying that he's Bryce Young. I'm just saying the way that Bryce just had a swagger about him, an aura about him that I think that Keelon Russell brings as well. So we'll see what happens. And now before we wrap up, I want to give you all my prediction for the World Cup finalists taking place tomorrow. So again, we have Spain taking on Argentina. That's going to be in Newark, New Jersey. And the match is going to take place 3 p.m. tomorrow. And I said Newark, New Jersey. It's East Rutherford. Excuse me, people. MetLife Stadium in Eastern Rutherford, New Jersey, 3 p.m. On Sunday. I know that, obviously, Argentina, they're like I mentioned before, they're coming in to win back-to-back. Spain is coming in. I think that this is their second time in their country's history of reaching the World Cup final. There's a lot of history between these two that I've mentioned, even to the point of Messi holding a baby boy back in 2007 in Lamine Yamal, who is now on the Spain team to compete for this World Cup final. It doesn't get any better than that. But I'm going to go with Spain to win this match. I'm not, obviously Messi is one of the greats in all of soccer, but I'm going to roll with Spain. I think that Argentina, the thing about Argentina, they're a team that's just never, they're never out of it. I mean, we saw them, I mentioned that Cape Verde match was one of the best. That one against Egypt was also one of the best matches I've ever seen. I mean, these guys, they were down 2-0. They scored, 3 goals in, 13 minutes or something crazy like that. I had never seen anything like that in my life. And I've been watching the World Cup since I was in, middle school. So it's insane to see something like that. I personally do feel like they've been getting a little they've been cheating for Argentina, these refs. They have been cheating for them. But, Argentina's the favorites. Obviously, everybody's coming in there expecting them to win. But I'm going with the underdogs. I'm going with Spain. I think Spain has some firepower on their side as well. I think that this is going to be a great match. It's going to come down to the wire. Hopefully, we got an exciting final where it even goes to penalty kicks. You know, hopefully it goes that far. But we'll see. But again, I'm going to roll with Spain to knock off Argentina, to upset them, to ruin their back-to-back championship aspirations. And Spain will be the World Cup final champion. So that's all I have for you all. I appreciate you rocking with me. Again, like I said before, all the love, all the support, it means a lot. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Continue to be safe. And we'll do it all again next week, man. Peace, blessings. I'm out. And look, I'll leave y'all with this. Roll Tide.